This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Not only the outside linebackers, but all the rushmen are a significant component when you face quarterback mobility, and particularly Lamar Jackson. You know, the addition of Preston has been significant for us. He's a veteran. He knows what to do. He's highly skilled, done a nice job of fitting in. We've gotten quality production from my edge people, regardless of who's in the game, and I expect that to continue. But I'm also optimistic about the availability of TJ based on what I've seen.
All right, so that was the big buzzword from the press conference, was optimistic on T.J. Watt from Mike Tomlin at the 50-minute mark, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Today, the Steelers staged a walkthrough. Typically, this is a day off for the guys, but the game's on Saturday, not Sunday, so they had to work, but they decided to just do a very easy day of practice. So the participation of players in practice is an estimation. The NFL asks them, because of the betting surge, because there's so much action on pro football, so much money and tied up into it, to guesstimate what would have happened if they staged an actual practice today. And so that's what the practice report reflects. And Tomlin wrote down that if they did have a regular practice, TJ Watt wouldn't have been available. George Pickens wouldn't have been available. Deshaun Elliott wouldn't have been available. Dante Jackson wouldn't have been available. Justin Fields wouldn't have been available. And Larry Ogunjobi would have been a little bit available. Now, the Ogunjobi thing, just for a second, might not seem like a big deal, but he's a pretty good run defender based on all the stats. And they played Dean Lowry, who most Steelers fans have no clue who that guy is, almost 50% of the snaps against the Eagles. Tomlin talks about nameless gray face opponents. That's a nameless gray face Steeler who's barely played this year, and he played a ton in Ogunjobi's absence. So I don't think Ogunjobi's had a great year by any means. He's a huge upgrade over the guy that is, quote, next man up at that position. My thoughts as we get closer to the game and start to get into the game prep, Chris, is if what we see is what we get, if these guys are actually out for this game, then it's kind of a David versus Goliath game. I mean, I go into Steelers-Ravens games always feeling great about them because of the way that they bottle up Lamar Jackson. But this almost takes the fun out of it for me. Because instead of it feeling like this high stakes, not winner takes all, because the Ravens can't clinch a division, but the Steelers can capture the division, guarantee themselves a home playoff game, set themselves up for you know, the playoffs and managing the last two games and not having to really win those games to get what they want, which is the easier path to the Super Bowl. I go into this game with almost no expectations. Just
so
like
it's
the
basically
Eagles game.
Like the Eagles game.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you're basically just looking at it as a repeat of last week if it's the same injury situation.
Right,
here.
And it's like, yeah, I mean, I said
you don't,
this.
Wait, you don't even give them a little bit of a chance because.
No, I do, but, you know, you want games like this to mean so much or matter so much that if they lose it, you're like pissed off and you're aggravated and you're annoyed by it. And if they do, I'll be more mad at like the football gods for having the Steelers go into this game at, you know, 60%.
Wounded.
Yes. Like any Mike Tomlin in-game decision or fumble by a Steelers running back or something like that.
I mean, I guess what I would choose to look at, not so much that I'd be mad at Tomlin or mad at them if they go in this injured and they lose. Like, I wouldn't necessarily look at them. I would have kind of the Eagles outlook here. You expect them to not be able to win this game. But, man, go back to that game last year to end the season. Granted, it's in a monsoon. The Ravens have played them remarkably tough at times when they've had no reason to be able to.
And they still lose, though.
I understand that, but like some of those games where it looked like, all right, they're getting no Lamar Jackson here for one reason or another. Like, this should be a walkover.
I agree with you in that.
They don't turn into that. So like
the COVID game here when they played it on a Wednesday
on
was one of those games. The Steelers barely won, and Tomlin was pissed at Trace McSorley.
Didn't they have a third guy have to come in and play quarterback?
I think it was just those two guys that day. You'd have to go double check that.
There were some random dudes playing quarterback. My point is, I don't completely like throw this game out and say, not so much no expectations. I don't just take like a bummed out viewpoint on it like you just did there. Because I've just seen so many times the shoe be on the other foot. Or even when the Steelers had Charlie Batch pull a rabbit out of a hat. The game itself should be a lot closer because for one reason or another, I know people don't like to do this, but I think it's more valid than saying, well, they never win in Philly. With some of the same particulars year after year, in recent years, some of these guys will be on the field for this game. They're almost always close. Like, I will at least allow for the possibility that this game, even if the Steelers are beat to hell,
I agree.
Is close.
I agree with that. I don't think that the game is going to be as one-sided as the game against the Eagles, so I don't think that I'm walking into... I said David versus Goliath. I don't feel like it's a lambs being led to slaughter kind of situation. I don't think I'm sitting down to watch the Ravens spike the football on the Steelers.
Lamar
and laugh
finally
at them the
has
entire
his big
game.
Game. Like, I'm not guaranteeing.
Yeah, I don't think Ravens players
that
are winning
happen.
Big and like, you know, rubbing a terrible towel on their ass afterwards and like laughing and pointing at the Steelers. I don't think it's going to be that type of game.
You think Deontay might take a video from his house wearing a Steelers jersey?
I just don't think it's a fair fight.
Well, it isn't on paper, but that doesn't mean that they can't win it. Like, they still have, if you believe the head coach has a significant role in what they're able to do against Jackson, and I do, I really don't think it's just TJ Watt is awesome. I think he has tactics and strategies. And I think part of it is talking about Jackson like he is the greatest quarterback to ever play. I think that all plays into
it. And that's part of the appeal or the allure of Steelers-Ravens is that there have been these, you know, gargantuan upsets, Ryan Mallett with the Ravens, Charlie Batch with the Steelers. So those types of crazy things, the rivalry has brought out.
Let me say something to you about
some of those moments.
You're going
to
get mad at me. Hold on. I got to say this right now before it like slips my mind. We've had a big debate all show about whether or not like it matters in a vacuum that you win the division or like I said, I just want to win a playoff game. I will allow for this exception. If they win the division with all of these guys not playing, that will stick in my brain as a pretty memorable individual win in a regular season for Mike Tomlin. You go no Watt, no Pickens, no Elliott, no Fields. Like, you've got the kind of skeleton crew here a little bit, and you sneak into their building and walk out with a win. That game in and of itself will stick out to me as a memorable one, like a memorable Mike Tomlin win.
Yeah, but he's got memorable Mike Tomlin wins from dead-end seasons. That 2012 season,
they went
8-8.
I'm not trying to connect it to that topic. I'm just pointing out, like, in a very much a vacuum,
yes,
I will be very amused by that.
Yeah, we'll all be amused, but you're saying all that, but you're not actually saying it in a way that changes your mind, it doesn't sound like.
No, I'm just allowing for, like, one little sliver of I would have a you-know-what-eating grin on my face if they pulled this off.
So would I. I mean, it would be a great...
like a smirking
but that's why I said... Winning the division, getting the bragging rights over the Ravens and sweeping them and getting to 11 wins with the prospect of winning 12 or 13 this year would make it a good year, and this would be the cherry on top of that. It would be the apex moment, the pinnacle of, I think, a good Steelers season, and then we'll see what happens in the playoffs. What I was getting to was I hate when these games get diluted. I hate when they get watered down. And the Steelers going into this game with so many injuries waters down this game. It helped the Steelers when they were bad, when they weren't a good, when they weren't bad, when they were a mediocre team or an average team, that Lamar Jackson would miss the game or they would have the playoff spot sewed up and they'd play scrubs. Like, that was beneficial for them, but it made the games way less interesting. I don't like less interesting, less entertaining. I don't like the stars and the big names to not be involved in these games. I want Lamar Jackson to have to beat the Steelers with TJ Watt. You know, I'll feel like if Lamar Jackson does have a good game and they win, if Watt doesn't play, if Elliott's out in the corner with five interceptions is out, I'll feel like, all right, he won this round, but feel like it's a legit win for him because we weren't anywhere close to full strength.
That's a built-in thing that I would think you would kind of take as a silver lining. The minute, like, Ravens fans said, ha, 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 he finally got you, you could instantly and rightfully undercut that.
I would.
Okay, like, I don't... Yes, it would suck because it would be in the aftermath of a loss, but I would think that that would be something that you'd put it as another little feather in your cap that you'd enjoy. Oh, yeah, that's nice that he beat them.
I know, but what I'm getting at, though, is there's that, but also, like, the continued angst and anxiety if they were to lose this game and be injured of what's going to happen on Christmas Day against the Chiefs. Are guys going to get healthy? Are they ever going to get back to full strength? They clinched a playoff spot, but when are they going to, like, finally put the exclamation point on their season?
I mean, they're
getting
just
into a...
Yeah, they're in a tough spot, though, man. They might not put an exclamation point on it. The schedule's brutal and the injury situation's brutal right now for them. There is, if for people that want, like, a closure or a bam, we put our foot down, you might not get it.
Here is Patrick on the fan. Hello, Pat.
Hey, gentlemen. Good afternoon. Love the show. I appreciate you taking the call.
Yes. What do you got for us?
Here's a personal feel for my point. This game is all about one person, no coach, no MVP candidate. It's Russell Wilson. In the event that he is handicapped, which he will be, either defensively or offensively, and he is looking for a future, whether it be with the Steelers or someone else, he needs to step up and say, you know what, when the chips are down and the odds are against us, I am the guy that can lead us to somewhere where nobody expects us to go. And as far as Tomlin goes,
well, wait a minute. I don't want to gloss over that. You're saying saying you hope that he does it or want him to do it is different from saying he needs to do it. It sounds like you think he needs to do that in order for you to want to give him an extension and feel like he's the Steelers quarterback of the future, that he needs to, like, be the force multiplier that wins them this game. Is that right?
Unequivocally, there is one person in this game that needs to step up and be accounted for, and it's him. It's not a coach.
Okay, but what are the consequences if he doesn't?
Yeah, what if he doesn't?
What if he just, what if he plays like he did against the Eagles? Then what?
Well, that he has no future with us
completely,
or anyone else.
Here's why, gentlemen.
Wait a second. You can disagree, but here's what. When the chips are down, if you put it in Josh's hands or you put it in Mahomes' hands, are they going to come through even without a cast of characters?
He's not those guys. He's 36 years old, and both of those guys are in the prime of their career. And, oh, by the way, if he does it against Baltimore, but he does it Christmas Day against the Chiefs, then he hasn't redeemed himself? I mean, come on now. You're boiling his whole Steelers season down to one game.
No, absolutely not. Christmas Day means nothing. It's this Saturday.
What do you mean it means nothing? It's the team that's won the last two Super Bowls coming here.
Yeah, but that's not the game that counts. The game that counts is this weekend because it tees up the Steelers.
If they lose this game, then next week is the week that counts. And if you beat... Okay, if you have a season where you go 2-0 against the Ravens... but lose to the Chiefs, versus 1-1 against the Ravens, but you beat Kansas City. Overall, what would make you feel better about their chances of winning games in the playoffs, Chris?
The Kansas City win.
Me too.
I'm just... Look, I am kind of flabbergasted by the general
that
vibe
it's,
of that
it's,
call.
It's make or break for Russell Wilson on Saturday. The referendum on him is this game without potentially George Pickens and without a defense that usually can hold Lamar Jackson in check because they're down three or four starters, including the guy that's the favorite to win the defensive player of the year if it goes that way.
I'm all for the idea that it would be very reassuring to see a former Super Bowl winning quarterback who did look very bad like the rest of them against Philly play really well against a team he played poorly against earlier this year. But that is not for me like the be-all, end-all.
Yeah, it's not
here.
A game where it's like, oh man, he didn't come through in this game. That's it. Let's...
Might as well go back to Fields for the Kansas City game if he's healthy.
Yep, back to the drawing board at quarterback.
That's dealing in massive extremes.